Happy Monday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our macro minute for Monday, April 13th, 2026. Hope everyone had a great weekend. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, how should investors respond to the U.S. blockade of the Strait of Hormuz? Our answer is positive developments signal that the U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict is still on track for a positive resolution. The blockade merely confirms our expectation for a series of viable dips due to brinksmanship throughout the negotiations. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis. Nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors in the growth cycle. Regarding the inflation cycle, President Trump ordered a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz following an impasse in U.S.-Iran negotiations, signaling a re-escalation of geopolitical risk. If enforced, the blockade would disrupt Iranian cargo, the only remaining uninterrupted crude oil shipments throughout the conflict. Iran declared it would target all ports in and near the Persian Gulf if its own shipping infrastructure is threatened, according to the state-run IRIB News. Iran's armed forces stated Monday that regional port security is, quote, either for everyone or no one, signaling a maximalist reaction function. Iran characterized the U.S. threat to block the strait as a, quote, act of piracy, while reaffirming intentions to maintain permanent control over the strategic waterway post-conflict. Nothing actionable with respect to the monetary policy and fiscal policy cycles. Regarding the liquidity cycle, in China, the March credit data did not support our outlook for firming growth. The Chinese economy remains mired in a structural liquidity trap for two reasons. Number one, widespread capital misallocation due to decades of overinvestment. And number two, widespread adverse selection due to excessive private sector debt accumulation. China's March credit data incrementally confirmed the PBOC's prudent reaction function, which is why the Chinese economy is already on the wrong side of its most muted credit impulse on record. The good news is that the policy support the PBOC is providing is creating excess liquidity in the Chinese financial sector, which is positive for global liquidity. Indeed, global liquidity is still in a multi-year uptrend, according to the 42 macro global liquidity proxy, which is the aggregated sum of the major central bank balance sheets, global borrowed money supply, and global fiat FX reserves. In terms of the positioning cycle, the U.S. blockade of the Strait of Hormuz risks intensifying U.S.-China tensions, given China's reliance on Iranian oil, while simultaneously exacerbating an already fragile global energy supply backdrop. The blockade also risks intensifying the developing energy price crisis in the U.S. Enjoy the current pump figures with the so-called blockade. Soon you'll be nostalgic for 4 to 5% gas, Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Ghalibaf posted on X, underscoring upside risk to U.S. gasoline prices. Ghalibaf led Iran's delegation in Islamabad in talks that collapsed over irreconcilable differences tied to the trajectory of Iran's nuclear program. Despite no agreement on when to hold subsequent negotiations, Foreign Ministry spokesman Ismail Baghaei confirmed that the unresolved disputes only focus on two or three key points. So this is what we mean. We're talking about positive developments. You went from 7 points and 10-point plan and a 15-point plan on the U.S. side and 10 on the Iranian side to now they're only talking about 2 to 3 points. That's a material move forward in negotiations. Getting back into this, all told, these developments signal that the U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict is still on track for a positive resolution. The blockade merely confirms our expectation for a series of viable dips due to brinksmanship throughout the negotiations. Of course, there's going to be multiple rounds of negotiations, and of course, there's going to be brinksmanship. This is a negotiation between the U.S. and Iran. But what we were talking about last week, in our opinion, the Iran's willingness to open the Strait of Hormuz throughout the negotiations as part of the ceasefire, in my opinion, that signals that their end game is not keeping the Strait of Hormuz close. You wouldn't start a negotiation with giving up your number one thing that you want to have negotiated in the negotiations by giving up the number one thing you want in the negotiations. I mean, nobody negotiates that way. So in our opinion, we think we've moved past a peak point of uncertainty regarding the restricted petroleum product supply and the restricted supply of fertilizer that is currently trapped in the Strait of Hormuz. In our view, there's going to be a lumpy trend higher in the shipment of those supplies in the coming weeks and months. It's not going to be easy. There will be more brinksmanship, But in our opinion, we think that we're past the worst of this conflict. If we're wrong on that, we'll be wrong. You know, you got to take your risk. You got to plant your flag if you want to make money in financial markets. You can't just equivocate like an economist. So let's keep moving here. As always, we'll wrap up with a question from our community. This one's titled Material Changes Situation. Says, hello, community. Regarding up on the changes, this AM DJT instructing the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, or reading up, sorry, my apologies, reading up. That is seemingly a material change in the situation, eh? Wonder how this can get reconciled with yesterday's Around the Horn, which admittedly I have not finished yet this morning, where DJT discussed brinksmanship / gamesmanship, etc. A DJT's instruction of a blockade seems more than that, no? Wouldn't this go back to what effectively caused the risk-off phase transition in the first place, which is the closure of the strait, barrels of oil not moving freely, causing inflation to spike, etc.? Curious of your thoughts. So yeah, I mean, so my general take on this is if this devolves beyond what we currently expect, then we're obviously going to return back to a risk-off market regime condition. But in our opinion, just based on what I just said, it's highly unlikely that the durable long-term closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which is the key tail risk here, is particularly from the perspective of the global liquidity cycle and the global dollar recycling flows from the Persian Gulf economies and the international investment surplus flows from Gulf economies that aren't getting the GDP that they need to generate profits and household savings that they further reinvest and recycle into international capital markets. Same deal with the Asian economies that are extremely reliant on that crude oil. Same thing with the European economies that are extremely reliant on that crude oil. Japan, China, Europe, Germany, China, and Japan are the three largest net international investment surplus economies in the world, and they're each very reliant on Middle Eastern petroleum products to generate economic activity. And so, you know, that is the ultimate tail risk in terms of the 6 to 8%, on the high end 8 to 11% a hit to global GDP if the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. But again, as I said, if you're negotiating with a counterparty or an adversary, and you give up the number one thing you want in the negotiation as part of the negotiation as a reason to start negotiating, to me, that signals that that's not their ultimate goal. So if we're right on that game theory viewpoint, then ultimately, I think we're going to resolve this this conflict well. So, you know, if I were you guys, I would just try to put earmuffs on, use these episodes of brinksmanship, these episodes of gamesmanship as an opportunity to buy the dip, in our opinion, until further notice, you know, until our regime signals say something different. So we'll wrap it up there. Jerry Still here, wrapping up our macro minute for Monday, April 13th, 2026. I hope everyone has a wonderful day, wonderful week. I will catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives, or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.